This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Sharmila Ganesan. It's official. All eligible Malaysians will be automatically registered to vote by the end of this year. So today we're looking at what that means. First, we discuss the significance and impact of automatic voter registration. Then, there have been calls for people to vote in the constituency that they live in. So we look at why this matters. Finally, how does this impact overseas voters? So tell us, do you vote? Why or why not? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08, and of course we know that automatic voter registration alongside Undi 18 is a go and will officially be implemented by December 31st this year. So this is... I think this has led to some interesting questions around how it'll work, who will be impacted, and how this might change the voting and election landscape. So the latest that we know is based on a statement by Deputy Minister in the Prime Minister's Department for Law, Datuk Mas Ermiati Samsudin. So she said that every Malaysian, including those who live overseas, will automatically be registered as voters and no Malaysians will be exempted. So that essentially means that if you're of voting age, you will automatically be registered to vote. Now, where this gets trickier, I suppose, is in the mechanism of voting itself. Because on the one hand, we have questions about how this might impact those who are Sabahan and Sarawakian who are living in Peninsular Malaysia. So as of now, Mas Ermiati advised Sabahans and Sarawakians who reside in the peninsula to change their address based on their place of residence, because one of the qualifications to be registered as a voter is to be a resident in a constituency. Furthermore, while postal voting will be available for Malaysians abroad as well as select groups of people, it will not be allowed for Sabahans and Sarawakians that are living in Peninsular Malaysia as well as Malaysians living in Brunei, Singapore, Kalimantan and Southern Thailand. So as we move towards a voter database where everyone is automatically registered, I think it's quite relevant now to discuss how this might work. How can people take advantage of their right to vote if these mechanisms are not properly worked out? And I think in a larger sense, how can we encourage people to go out and vote? And how can we get people to understand why it's important that they make their voice heard? We'd like to hear from you. Do you vote? Why or why not? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be discussing the impact of automatic voter registration and what that might mean for the upcoming elections. And for that, we'll be joined by Bursar Executive Director Yap Swee Sing. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:12. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila. And today we are talking about voting. This is coming on the wake of not just automatic voting registration and Undi 18 becoming a reality, but the announcement by the Deputy Minister. Hang on, let me make sure I get her title correct. The Deputy Minister in the Prime Minister's Department for Law, Datuk Mas Ermiati Samsudin, saying that every Malaysian, including those overseas, will automatically be registered as voters. So we wanted to get a sense of what this might mean for the coming elections, as well as, in a larger sense, the political landscape here in Malaysia. Do send your thoughts our way. Do you vote? Why or why not? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now joined by Yap Swee Sing, Executive Director at Bursar. Swee Sing, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Talk to us about the significance of having automatic voter registration. What would it mean?
It would mean that more people can exercise the right to vote and to choose government of the country, and also to decide the policy and the future of the country, right? Yeah, through voting. So So it means that additional of 5.6 million people can actually exercise this right to vote. So it is quite a very significant impact.
What do we know about Malaysians who haven't registered to vote? What are their reasons for not registering?
I think there are many different reasons. If we look at the 5.6 million additional new voters that is going to be included in the electoral roll, of course, 1.2 million are the those who are turning 18 years old to 21. But the other big numbers is the 4.6 million voters who actually who are already eligible to vote, but they have not registered as a voter in the past. And there are many reasons. I think at least 1 million overseas Malaysians who are probably working or overseas, and so that is probably one reason they did not register as a voter. But the others probably who are not, who probably live in the interior areas or probably in terms of political awareness or probably not keen to actually vote in the elections. So they did not register as a voters. So I think there are many different reasons they did not register as a voter.
Would the automatic voter registration encourage these groups of people to vote in the next election?
I think it can be divided maybe into two parts. For the 18 years old, I think it would encourage the young people to vote because in a way, young people, they are more receptive to new changes, and also they receive also more information in terms of social media, yeah, compared to the others. And also this will be the first time for them to be able to exercise their right to vote. So I think that would be a factor for them to come out to vote. But the other group, those who have not registered as a voter in the past, the reason for now for them not to register as a voters maybe will remain as the same. Yeah. So they're probably still working in overseas and all that. And also those who are probably not keen to vote, they may remain not keen to vote. So in a way, I think the voters turn out for this group of people maybe would still remain low compared to the 18 years old group. So in a way, I think that would also impact on the voters' turnout of the next general election, because we used to have 80% of voters' turnout. But with the inclusion of this 5.8 million of new voters, so it probably will lower the voters' turnout rate, yeah.
Do you anticipate challenges in implementing this automatic voter registration?
I think I don't see much problems in terms of implementation, although that the Election Commission may have more work to do, because they have to identify more polling stations, for the additional numbers of voters. But I think that logistically, it is still possible for the Election Commission to identify more polling stations, and even to be more creative to have other ways of voting to enable more people to exercise the right to vote. So in a way, I think I don't see much problems. They have been given so much time already to make preparation, because the constitutional amendments was made back in 2019. So now we are in 2021. So there shouldn't be any excuse to, you know, to delay the implementation of this.
How will the implementation of this change the way politicians campaign and try to reach their voters?
I think, yeah, it will change quite a lot because of the additional voters, especially the only 18, because given the slim majority of the ruling parties now, it means that every vote counts, yeah, every vote counts. And so with this 1.2 million of young people joining in, I think it will change totally the campaign strategy, because all the parties would want to get the votes of the young people. And so they probably would recruit more young people into their rank and file, and even, you know, come up with young people as election candidates for the party. And also in terms of policy and manifesto, they probably would address more issues that are related to the concerns of the young people, the young generation. So issues like, education, issues like unemployment and things like that. So I think, and of course, because of the young people, they are more, they are using social media a lot. So again, the political parties probably would invest a lot in terms of social media in campaigning.
Now, one thing that's been pointed out is that despite the AVR, postal voting will not be allowed for Sabahans and Sarawakians who live in Peninsular Malaysia, as well as for Malaysians living in Brunei, Singapore, Kalimantan and southern Thailand. What do you make of this?
I think again, in a way, indirectly disenfranchise these voters, although they are given the right to vote, but because the facilities are not provided to them to enable them to vote, that rendered the automatic registrations meaningless for this group of people. That is why I think Bersih has been advocating for the election committee to extend postal voting or absentee voting, to enable this group of people to exercise their rights, because otherwise it would be meaningless for us, the whole AVR exercise. And I think there are many ways we have seen in so many other countries that they can resort to a longer period of voting. They can have mobile voting. They can have postal voting. There are many other ways that can overcome these problems. So I really don't think this should be a hurdle for this group of people to exercise their rights. And the Election Commission should do as much as possible to extend this kind of facilities to this group of people.
Now, as you mentioned earlier, automatic registration doesn't guarantee that a person will vote, right? What sort of outreach would you like to see to encourage more people to vote?
I think the facilities is very important, because if you are able to make it easy for people to vote, yeah, even through postal voting, then I think more people would exercise the rights. Because currently, if you are an overseas voters, but you know, if based on the last the experience of last general elections, it is very cumbersome. Yeah, you need to register to apply as postal voters, and then you need to wait for the ballot papers to reach you, and then you have to send it back, and it costs a lot of money. And then the election period is so short that by the time the ballot papers reach the returning officer, it is already too late. So all these problems have to be addressed and have to be resolved by the Election Commission to encourage people to have confidence in the whole electoral process, that their vote will be taken care of and, their vote will be counted in the process. So I think that is one. There are, easily half a million of people just nearby in Singapore, in Southern Thailand. So that will already encourage half a million of people to vote. Similarly, for the only 18 groups of people, I think the Election Commission should do much more in terms of publicity and also education, election education, in terms of their rights and also the way to exercise their vote. So I think Election Commission should actually utilize the social media, as well as all the radio and television stations controlled by government to raise public awareness on this. And of course, the other is in terms of education, the education system have to be reformed to include a better and systematic civic education program for the young people, so that they understand the spirit and the spirit of the constitution, the rights of the people, how our political system works, and things like that. So I think those are different components, but are very important to be covered by the government and the Election Commission. And of course, this should not be left with the government alone, but they should also get civil society to be involved and also all the political parties as key stakeholders.
Swee Sing, you mentioned just now this idea of having confidence in the system, right? And I just wanted to read these two messages that we have and just get you to respond to them. So we have Sharul, who says, "I voted Undi Rosa for the last four elections." And we have Taihi, who says, "Not, I don't vote anymore because votes don't count. The government I voted for keeps getting changed to one I don't want. Our parliamentary system is a mockery." And I just wanted to get you to respond. I think this is a feeling that you hear quite often. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, precisely. You hear a lot of these views. I think it is a problem with party hopping by politicians after the general elections, and that collapse governments. And I totally understand the kind of sentiments. But I will also want to say that, this is a problem of our political system, because our political system did not have to face such a problem in the past, because it is dominated by one party or one coalition. So there is no close competition between the ruling parties and the opposition parties. What we are facing now is because there is a close competition, and then that's why the hopping becomes a problem. So, but for democracy to mature, it means the ruling parties and the opposition parties will have to compete, in a healthy manner. But they have to they have to compete in terms of policy, and there is also opportunities for them to be in power and to be in government, right? So at the same time, our political system has not been updated, right? So we are still stuck with the old system. That's why Bose is advocating for the introduction of recall elections, to address the party hopping issues, and also to address the other incentive that is in the system that that would be utilized by politicians to entice opponents to cross over. So this would include the allocation of constituency development fund, you know, denial of a CDF fund to the opposition, the selective prosecution, you know, by the Attorney General Office, and also other factors in terms of resources, yeah, given to the opposition, and also in terms of the power, you know, that that opposition will not be able to play a more meaningful role in terms of contribution to the country. So I think all this we have to address all this problem, but it is a process that we have to go through, because in order for the country, our political system to be more mature and democratized even more, then we have to address this problem. But at the same time, this system will continue to sustain a healthy competition between the ruling and the opposition parties.
Swee Sing, thank you for joining us today. That was Yap Swee Sing, Executive Director at Bursay. We'd like to hear from you. Do you vote? Do you vote? Why or why not? And after this, we'll look at why it's important to vote in the constituency that you live in. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bombing frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:39. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila. And we've been talking about voting, specifically on the wake of the implementation of automatic voter registration, which kicks in by the end of this year. So earlier we discussed the larger impact of this. And now we want to hone in on one specific discussion that has come up alongside this, which is this idea of registering to vote in the constituency that you live in, which admittedly a lot of Malaysians still might not do. And we wanted to talk about why that is so important and how to encourage more people to do so, really. But we'd like to hear from you. Do you vote? Why or why not? You can call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now joined by Halmi Azri, who is Research Executive at IDEAS. Halmi, thanks for joining us today.
Hello, good evening, Sharmila. Thank you for having me.
So let's start with this notion of voting where they live, right? Why is that largely considered a good idea?
Yeah, hello. Yeah, okay. Basically, I would say this is mainly because there are the ones to be directly affected by any policy changes and would receive the most benefits of development facilities or amnesties within that constituency. As well as the ones who are most attuned to the surroundings. Hence, I would say they are by default part of the community's extended stakeholders. Yeah, and additionally, also, I think they also have a more accessibility to directly monitor their representatives and hold those that they vote into account more effectively.
Yeah. Now, having said that, because of gerrymandering, voters might feel like their vote might count for more in their original constituency. What would you say to that?
Yes, I would say gerrymandering has been a long-standing issue for many, many years that has basically eroded public trust towards the electoral system. It is very important, in our view, at IDEAS, that this deficit should be addressed appropriately. The deficit of trust by the EC. And that's why there is a need for us to revisit the reforms proposal that was done when the current speaker, Azhar Harun, was part of the EC. And in my humble opinion, voters ought to register where they currently live so that what we call this, so that they can influence or impact change at the area that they are residing or occupying, rather than voting in someone that they ideally prefer, but then leaving that MP or ADUN to serve their old original address. And the people that are in that community are left to suffer the consequences. And just to add on a bit, we often speak about candidates and elected reps being accountable, but I also feel that the same sort of responsibility should be applied to the voters as well.
So when should a voter change their address? Do they need to wait for a certain period after they've moved?
I think voters should register their current addresses as soon as possible, to avoid any last minute panic. I mean, that's the Malaysian culture. And if and when a snap election occurs, like what we have in Melaka recently, right, given the high volatility and fluidity in politics at the moment, that might interrupt their voting opportunities. So to qualify, if a person is late to register or changing their addresses, they might find themselves caught in the EC's internal processes that needs to perform all sorts of verifications. So the sooner they do it, the better.
Is it important for the Election Commission's records to reflect the correct voter population in a given area? What purpose does that serve?
I believe it's important. I believe so. As this data will also be shared with the Statistics Department and other government agencies, and also it will be made available to public domain. This is quite significant, especially on issues related to constituency funds or local council governments, just to name a few. Additionally, an accurate record helps academics, think tanks like IDEAS, investigative journalists also to work with reliable sources that can help shape policymaking. Therefore, they can quickly identify gaps or inequalities before suggesting practical solutions. And therefore, with the practical solutions based on such reflective data sets, will benefit everyone in the long term.
I'm interested to hear how these records then would impact the politics of a particular locality.
Yeah, basically, they will definitely carry weight in the local politics, as the MPs and ADONs will know the demography of their constituency to better serve their needs and rights. This can then be used to predict the possible trends, for example, aging population or aging society within that particular constituency, via whatever available technology. We have big data analytics and IoT cloud system. And this will then better inform the public and improve the political culture from a patronage base to a policy base. That basically we will force the culture to be more accountable and reflective of the data sets.
Do we need more voter education on this subject? What form might that take?
Definitely we will need more voter awareness, more specifically democratic and citizenship education. That is very essential. This is where the role of CSOs, civil society organizations, conducting activities. We have experts producing more policy papers talking about democracy, talking about citizenship, talking about voting, and the work done by Bursi and the likes. And it also is helpful to have media sharing insightful infographics that were through social media that will come to help educate the public about the democratic processes as we mature in our democracy.
There's a WhatsApp here from a listener, Cheryl, who says, make it a law to vote where you live and local council elections will use the same register. Do you think that would be one way to go? Is a law needed?
I think to have laws will be slightly difficult. But if it is in place, we need to review it. We need to definitely hone in. Everyone, all stakeholders to hone in, because it might create mobility issues and whatnot. Yeah.
And finally, for anyone who'd like to change their voter address, how can they do that?
I would say there are formal channels, like the online voter registration services by the EC, Election Commission. Also, efforts by DONE officers, the State Assembly men or women. They do conduct the campaigns for voter registration and also advocacy campaigns by groups like Undi 18 and their extended chapters, like MUDA, the new political party, also helps not only in creating a greater voter understanding, but also channel the voters, especially younger ones, via social media and WhatsApp to facilitate the spreading of online links so that to get them to register and update their register at the address of their addresses.
Halmi, thank you for speaking with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Shamila.
That was Halmi Azri, Research Executive at IDEAS, speaking to us about the need for people to register to vote in the constituency that they currently live in. We'd like to hear from you. Is that something that you're currently doing? But in a larger sense, do you vote? Why or why not? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be looking at how automatic voter registration impacts overseas Malaysian voters. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:48. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila. And today we're discussing voting and more specifically automatic voter registration. And earlier we heard from Berse in terms of how it might impact voting, voter uptake here in Malaysia. And now we're moving on to global Berse to hear about overseas Malaysians and how this will perhaps get more of them to be able to vote. We'd like to hear from you. Do you vote? Why or why not? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now joined by Nirmala Devi Windgetter, who is Secretary General at Global Berse. Nirmala, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having us. We're very, very glad that we can be a part of the discussion.
So what was your reaction to hearing about the implementation of automatic voter registration, including for overseas residents?
First of all, of course, we're very happy and we welcome this. It's a positive news. I mean, we've been trying to do this for a long time. And in fact, in 2019, it was one of the recommendations from Global Berse for the Election Commission. And one of the main recommendations was to include overseas Malaysians in the overseas voting or in the voters automatic voters registration. So we are very happy. It's the right direction to go. And we just hope that it will be translated into action as soon as possible.
So prior to this, what was the process of overseas voting?
Basically, as overseas voters, we have two registration processes that we have to go through. It starts with, if you're a first-time voter, you have to personally go to an embassy, the nearest embassy, which could mean 300 kilometers away, 200 kilometers away, and register yourself as the first-time voter. And the process takes 6 months. And later, you will have to register yourself as an overseas postal voter. And that's a process that we work with the Election Commission, where we have to download a form from the website, fill up the PDF form and send it per email to the Election Commission. And they would confirm our status as overseas postal voter per email. That was the process that has happened before for the general election.
So that distance in itself sounds like a huge challenge, but could you expand on some of the other challenges that you hear from overseas Malaysians who want to vote?
Yeah, I mean, I think the distance is one of the main things, but one has to remember there's the hidden cost of the distance. That means somebody has to take time off to register themselves to vote. And all of the embassies are open during office hours. Then second of all, it costs, I can tell you from my personal experience, it cost me about 200 euros to just travel in order to register. And that translates to 800 to 900 ringgit. And these are the challenges or the tiny challenges that the overseas Malaysians have faced. And the second point is misinformation or non-existent of information, that most of the overseas Malaysians are at loss. How do we register? Where do we register? Or the processes that we have to go through, or the qualifications, eligibility. And those are the things that we face in our process of registration. On the second part, when we want to register as overseas postal voters, basically, we don't get any response. We send our emails in and it's not reflected anywhere. During the GE14, a lot of us didn't even know if we would be able to get our ballots at home. Like, you know, we have registered, we didn't get any reply emails. So the system before could have worked in a utopia, but it didn't work for us.
Do you see the implementation of the automatic voter registration addressing these issues?
Yes, of course, of course. I mean, it does take this burden away from overseas Malaysians, the burden to travel to the embassy, the money they have to spend, the time. That's true. But saying that, we still have the second part of the registration for us, which is to register as overseas postal voters. And we have been trying to work with the Election Commission. We've been having this recommendation of including this level of registration into their online registration that is already existing at the moment. It's as simple of including the Borang Satu B into their online system. And all the what the overseas Malaysians have to do is download, fill it in, or even fill it in online, send it back, and get the status online. And that would be the next step that we are hoping for.
So there have been calls, right, for online voting to be implemented for a while. Do you see that perhaps making voting easier for Malaysians overseas?
Yes, of course, that would be a perfect answer for most of the problems that overseas Malaysians face. But on the other hand, from our research, we did extensive research on online overseas voting, and we have it in our website. It was in our proposal too. Basically, in order for an online voting to function, we need a very strong democracy. We need trust from the people, and the election management body must be able to prove themselves that they can run it. So for now, we Global Bursa don't think it's an answer, but it's a longer process to arrive there. So we have to start now to see how we arrive there. And I think Bursa 2.0 has been doing some test runs. That's the way to go. Test runs, test it how it works. And when everything else, when the framework functions, and then online voting would be the answer, but not today.
What other changes would you like to see when it comes to the overseas voting process?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually, because first of all, there is a need to have a different limit of campaign period. We need a longer campaign period, at least 21 to 25 days, to ensure that the overseas postal voting system works, that overseas voters have enough time to receive their ballots and to send them back. And we also need a uniform voting process because General Election 13, we voted at the embassies. General Election 14, we got our ballots at home and we had to send it back. So it's very confusing for overseas Malaysians. How are we going to vote or how it's going to happen? So there is a need for a uniform voting process. And there is a need for the process to be more inclusive. I mean, surprisingly, even after so many discussions for so long, voters and Malaysian voters in Singapore, Brunei, Kalimantan and Southern Thailand are not included in the overseas postal voting system, and there is no legal or logical reason for that. So they have to be included. And those are a few of the things that has to happen. And another thing that's important is that overseas Malaysians, at the moment, we get to vote under the discretion of EC. The Election Commission will decide if we can vote through postal voting or if we can vote at the embassies. There's a need for a definition of overseas voters to be included in the legal definition of the EC regulation. So we are included as postal voters, so we know that we can vote per post every single time there's an election.
What can we learn from other countries when it comes to voting from abroad?
A lot. But basically, I think, first of all, I think the election management body in Malaysia has to realize that they have to be more inclusive instead of coming up with rules and regulations to make it more difficult. There's a certain rule at the moment. Overseas Malaysians must have spent 30 days within Malaysia in the last 5 years in order to be able to vote. And in the voting, we have to have another Malaysian to be a witness of our ballot. So those are little things that might sound little, but if you live in a small little village in the end of Germany, you wouldn't find another Malaysian and you cannot vote. So basically, it has to be more inclusive, like what other countries are doing. They're going into online implementation of registration systems or verification systems. That would be a good start before online voting. And also, the election management body has to work with organizations and ministries that have access to the diaspora, especially the Malaysian Foreign Office. So voters' education through the Malaysian Foreign Missions all over the world would be a great way to start to make people understand the system, to make people understand how valuable their vote is, but basically to be more inclusive. I think that would be what we have to learn from the other countries.
Nirmala, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
That was Nirmala Devi Windgetter, Secretary General at Global Bursay, weighing in on, automatic voter registration and how it impacts overseas voters, as well as what more needs to be done. Do share your thoughts with us. We've been talking about voting today. Do you vote? Why or why not? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This has been Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.